I'm Owen Jensen. Tonight on EWTN News Nightly, Papal Priorities.
My ministry has begun in the heart of a Jubilee year, devoted in a particular way to hope.
In a meeting with the Vatican's diplomatic corps, Pope Leo XIV lays out his vision for the Holy See on the world stage. War in Ukraine, a rare face-to-face meeting between Ukraine and Russia. We have the very latest. Euthanasia in the UK, why members of parliament are taking a closer look at a measure on assisted suicide. Plus, crosswalk. Learn more about an annual procession through the nation's capital. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you very much for being with us. Our top story tonight, the direct peace talks between Russia and Ukraine. Negotiators did not reach a deal, but did agree to swap prisoners of war, POWs. President Trump says it's time for the fighting to end.
We got to stop the killing. 5,000 people a week, 5,000 young people a week on average being killed in a war that is going nowhere.
President Donald Trump says he wants to meet Russian President Vladimir Putin as soon as they can set it up. This comes after Putin failed to attend peace talks today in Turkey.
You know, they all said Putin was going and Zelensky was going. And I said, if I don't go, I guarantee Putin's not going. And he didn't go. And I understand that. But we're going to get it. We're going to get it done. We got to get it done.
President Trump also spoke about his push to reach a deal with Iran to prevent them from building a nuclear bomb. He believes the negotiations have come a long way.
Plus, we have an Iran situation, which we're going to take care of. One way or the other, we're taking care of. It'll be taken care of 100%. It'll be done nicely or not nicely.
The president made the comments at the end of his trip to the United Arab Emirates, where he started the day with a business roundtable talking tariffs.
We just reached a fantastic trade deal, as you know, with the United Kingdom, which was wonderful, and we have another big one that we just reached with China. The China deal is a very big deal. It's in the process of continuing to be formed.
Later, President Trump toured an interfaith complex known as the Abrahamic Family House before saying goodbye and beginning his journey home. He says he wants to get back to see his new grandson, born to his daughter, Tiffany.
Just had a little announcement of a beautiful grandchild, a boy.
Joining us now is George Beebe, Director of Grand Strategy at the Quincy Institute. Sir, thank you very much for being here. Russia and Ukraine sat down today to talk peace. Lasted less than 2 hours. Are they any closer, sir?
Well, I think they are closer. I think the fact that they sat down together and began a process is an important step forward. They certainly have a long way to go. They have not agreed on what they're going to talk about, even though they have agreed that they should be talking. The Ukrainians want to talk about a ceasefire, and that's all they want to talk about. They want some sort of breathing spell because they're under immense pressure on the battlefield. They want time to regroup and rearm and prepare their defenses. That's exactly what the Russians don't want to give them, because the Russians' leverage over the terms of a broader political settlement depend on their ability to put pressure on the Ukrainians on the battlefield. So the Russians want to talk about what the broad outlines of that political settlement are going to look like. So the two sides are very far apart in what they think the topic of these discussions ought to be.
They did agree today, as you probably saw, to exchange 1,000 prisoners of war, each side. Your reaction to that development?
Well, I think that was a constructive step. I think both sides want to show the Trump administration that they're making progress, and that was something that they could all agree on. They each want their prisoners back. So that was, I think, a very pragmatic compromise.
And it was, you know, for the days leading up to this, the big question mark was, would Putin, Russia's Putin, show up? He did not show up. Did that surprise you?
No, not at all. It is very unusual for presidents to be involved directly at such an early stage of negotiations. I think what the Ukrainians were trying to do is to put Putin in an awkward position where he would appear to be the obstacle to progress in peace talks. They were hoping that they would persuade President Trump that Putin is the problem and that we simply need to put more pressure on the Russians. But I think the Trump administration is not falling for that ploy. I think they understand that Putin is not going to engage with Zelensky this soon until he has a much better understanding of what the terms of a settlement are actually going to look like. And I think he also wants to talk directly to the United States. I think many of the issues that are involved in this peace settlement are actually things that the United States is going to have to negotiate with Russia, not Ukraine. Things like the U.S. force posture in Europe, for example.
Does a Trump-Putin meeting, is that what it's going to take to end this horrible, horrible conflict in Ukraine? Is that what it's ultimately going to take, a Trump-Putin summit, if you will?
Well, I think that is a necessary ingredient, yes. It's not by itself going to solve everything. The Ukrainians are going to have to engage on many issues. The Europeans are going to have to be involved in some ways, too, because they need to lift economic sanctions of their own on Russia, and they're going to have to agree to a process that brings the Ukrainians into the European Union. The United States can't deliver that by itself. So a lot of pieces to this puzzle, but I think the Trump-Putin meeting is an enormously important part of it, yes.
All right, 15 seconds. Is this, take out your crystal ball. Is this war over in 3 months, 6 months, a year, or never, for a long time anyway?
Well, I don't think it's going to be over in 3 months, but I think somewhere between 3 and 6 months from now, we could have enough progress that it looks like we're on the path to a real settlement.
George Beebe, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it, and have a good day, sir.
Thank you.
As the president headed home on Air Force One, a reporter asked if he supported Israeli plans to expand the war in Gaza.
We have to help also out the Palestinians. You know, a lot of people are starving on Gaza, so we have to look at both sides. But we're going to do a good job.
Leaders of seven European nations also raised the alarm today. They warned thousands of Gazans could starve to death unless immediate action was taken. Israel halted all aid into the territory 10 weeks ago. Israel launched dozens of airstrikes across Gaza today. More than 100 people reportedly killed, including women and children. And Israeli officials said the strikes were part of the lead-up to a larger operation it warned would begin soon if Hamas doesn't release the remaining hostages. Only 1 week into his pontificate, Pope Leo XIV has already issued multiple appeals to end the conflicts in Gaza and Ukraine. Today, in his meeting with the Vatican's diplomatic corps, the Holy Father stressed that peace was an important part of the Church's commitment to serve all humanity. EWTN Vatican News correspondent Valentina De Donato has more.
As Pope Leo XIV entered the Sala Clementina, diplomats from around the world rose to greet the Holy Father for the first time.
Your presence here today is a gift for me. It allows me to renew the Church's aspiration and my own, to reach out and embrace all individuals and people on the earth who need and yearn for truth, justice, and peace.
Di giustizia e di pace.
Truth, justice, and peace, three essential words which the Pope identified as the pillars of the Church's commitment to serve all humanity. He referred to the diplomats as a family grounded in human and spiritual values, seeking opportunities to build bridges with people and nations. EWTN spoke with some of the ambassadors to the Holy See about the significance of this meeting.
Well, he sent out a very clear message today. He spoke of peace, he spoke of justice, and he spoke of truth. And peace especially resonates with what Japan is doing because of our wartime past. Japan has vowed to be a very peaceful country.
Ambassador Akira also spoke of his personal experience, growing up with his father who firsthand felt the horrors of World War II.
As far as Hiroshima was concerned, my father was a Navy officer when the bomb was dropped. He was stationed very near Hiroshima, so he would tell me time and again what he witnessed. So although I did not experience the bomb myself, it is like a living experience for me. And that gives me the determination not to repeat the tragedy and to be very prudent when we even think about the weapon.
Personal experience and the background of a person can influence the approach, whether diplomatic or pontifical. Pope Leo XIV's life has taken him across North America, South America, and Europe. And Ambassador Selmayr says the experiences make the Holy Father a truly global pope, which adds to his understanding and sensitivity to the pressing issue of immigration.
When he spoke about migration, it was interesting that he spoke and said, I'm the descendant of immigrants, and who themselves chose to emigrate. Also interesting to put immigration in one context, that this inspires his view of the world, his Christian thought about migrants who have deserved protection. He spoke about the dignity of everybody in society, in particular the more vulnerable ones, and then he mentioned migrants. So I think we as Europeans, and I'm the ambassador of the European Union, we can very much relate to that.
It's very, very important that all the nations of the European Union show solidarity, because without showing solidarity, you cannot solve or you cannot build bridges.
Pope Leo XIV, from the very start of his pontificate, has been vocal about stopping all war and also a particular focus on the most pressing conflicts, from the ceasefire in Gaza to the war in Ukraine.
From the very beginning, he spoke vocally about peace, about justice, and about the truth. And even one of his first words, he said, peace upon you all. And in our case, we are yearning for real peace, real justice. As we're in the Holy Land, in Terra Santa, we're passing through difficult challenges, mainly because of the war in Gaza and the suffering of our people.
Pope Leo XIV's papacy began in the heart of the Jubilee year, which is also a time devoted to hope, a time of renewal and a possible opportunity to embark on a path towards peace. In Rome, Valentina Di Donato for EWTN News Nightly.
This weekend, the Holy Father celebrates his inaugural Mass. We'll have live coverage right here on EWTN starting at 3 a.m. Eastern this Sunday. Five House Republican fiscal hawks rebelled today to block President Trump's massive reconciliation bill from passing the Budget Committee over concerns the legislation does not impose enough spending cuts.
Sadly, I'm a hard no until we get this ironed out, and I think we can. We've made progress, but it just takes time.
I am a no on this bill unless serious reforms are made today, tomorrow, Sunday. We're having conversations as we speak, but something needs to change, or you're not going to get my support.
Congressman Ralph Norman, Chip Roy, and three others joined Democrats on the House Budget Committee to sink a procedural vote that would have advanced the multi-trillion dollar measure. Budget Committee Chair Congressman Joey Arrington adjourned the hearing and said the panel would meet again Sunday night. Speaker Mike Johnson had wanted to get the measure to a full House vote by next week before the Memorial Day recess, but right now that appears unlikely. We have a lot more still to come right here on EWTN News Nightly, including stormy weather ahead. With the start of hurricane season weeks away, a new report raises red flags about FEMA's preparedness. And walking off the job, why a transit strike in New Jersey is also causing headaches for New Yorkers. Homeland Security says federal authorities are investigating a now-deleted social media post made by former FBI Director James Comey. It contained the numbers 86 and 47. Some claim that's a call for violence against President Trump, who is the 47th president. Comey said he did not realize the number 86 could be associated with violence. President Trump isn't buying that. Comey has apologized for the post. An appeals court in Florida strikes down a law allowing minors to get an abortion without parental consent. In its ruling, the three-judge panel says the measure violates the 14th Amendment rights of parents. The opinion says in part, quote, whatever may have justified Florida's judicial waiver regime in the past unequivocally have been repudiated by both the U.S. Supreme Courts and the Florida Supreme Court. Lawmakers in the United Kingdom resumed their debate on an assisted suicide bill. The measure would allow terminally ill adults in England and Wales expected to die within 6 months to seek help to end their own life. Some lawmakers say the measure will put too much pressure on the sick and dying.
Other jurisdictions who have passed laws like this up to a third of people, one third, report that they've taken this step because they feel they're a burden on others.
The debate resumes next month. With the hurricane season starting in just weeks, an internal report says the Federal Emergency Management Agency, also known as FEMA, is, quote, not ready to handle major disasters. Capitol Hill correspondent Eric Rosales joins us now with the latest. Eric?
Well, good evening, Owen. It's great to be with you. The internal review was created after FEMA's new acting director, David Richardson, ordered the agency to review its hurricane preparedness. Now, the findings contend that staff cuts, along with a push by the Trump administration to eliminate disaster relief agency, are causing lawmakers to sound the alarm bells as the June 1st hurricane season is fast approaching.
But abandoning the rapid and effective response that is necessary to natural disasters right at the start of the hurricane season is just political, legal, and environmental malfeasance.
The internal report identified apparent problems at FEMA, saying it's been derailed due to staffing and contract issues. It adds the agency needs to, quote, refocus on its core mission while preparing for the 2025 hurricane season. Senator Rick Scott of Florida, former governor, is no stranger to dealing with disasters. He says three hurricanes have hit Florida in the past 3 years and tells me it's important to understand the chain of response.
The first response was you be prepared, two, your local government, three, the state government, and then FEMA responds to a request by the governor. That's how it is all set up. We haven't had any problems yet that I know of.
The Homeland Security Department, which oversees FEMA, says the agency is, quote, fully activated in preparation for hurricane season. Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville says a quick FEMA response is essential.
President Trump, he's going to reset FEMA. I don't know what he's going to do, but we need to get to a point where we can help out a state the first 48 hours of a disaster because FEMA moves like a slow-walking turtle.
North Dakota Senator John Hoeven tells me the findings raise serious questions.
Is there something that we can do at the federal level that makes it more effective and more responsive? So that's something we should take a look at. And, you know, that disaster response is incredibly important, and we need to be ready for hurricane season.
Democrats say that the Trump administration is also pushing reforms that would make it harder for communities to qualify for disaster relief, like quadrupling the amount of damage in communities before they receive any federal aid, and capping that amount, and then denying all major disaster declarations for snowstorms. At the Capitol, Eric Rosales, EWTN News Nightly.
All right, Eric, thank you very much for that report. Severe weather has been ravaging the Midwest, with tornadoes touching down in Wisconsin, damaging homes and leaving thousands there without power. Take a look at this video. A tornado moved through New Richmond, Wisconsin. As many as 8 tornadoes hit western Wisconsin and parts of Minnesota during Thursday's storms. Homes and businesses were destroyed, and hundreds remain without power. Service has halted on the New Jersey Transit as transit engineers walked off the job early this morning, affecting thousands of commuters. The New Jersey Transit is the third largest commuter system in the country, serving 350,000 commuters. Commuters have pivoted to using the ferry while workers demand higher wages. This is the first strike on the New Jersey Transit in more than 40 years. Up next on EWTN News Nightly, a familiar face joining the ranks of a special White House commission. Have the details. Plus, learn all about a very special event happening tomorrow right here in the nation's capital. And welcome back. Cardinal Timothy Dolan decided to take some time after the conclave to visit an old friend, a 100-year-old religious sister who was one of his teachers way back in grade school.
I'm talking real loud because I'm with my beloved Sister Mary Bosco, who's here at the Convent of St. Joseph in Tullamore, and I wanted to visit her. She's 100 years old. She taught me. She taught me in grade school when I was just a little gossip, so a little boy.
The head of the Archdiocese of New York says Sister Mary Bosco of the Sisters of Mercy taught him to love and serve the Lord. Love that story. President Trump says he is appointing Archbishop Salvatore Corleone as an advisory member of his new Religious Liberty Commission. The Archbishop of San Francisco will join the ranks of Bishop Robert Barron and other faith leaders. The president formally established the commission earlier this month to, quote, safeguard and promote America's founding principle of religious freedom. The National Eucharistic Pilgrimage is ready to launch a new route in just a few days. EWTN will be there right from the start of the St. Catherine Drexel route in Indianapolis, Indiana. The pilgrimage will start with a mass of Thanksgiving this Sunday before heading west and arriving in L.A., Los Angeles, in June. The route offers the faithful a unique opportunity to pray as the Blessed Sacrament processes and will pass through important sites such as the tomb of Venerable Servant of God, Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Here in Washington, D.C., a special procession will take place in the heart of the city. The Catholic Information Center in downtown Washington is holding its third annual Eucharistic procession. The CIC boasts having the closest tabernacle to the White House, and the body and blood of Christ will even pass within view of the Executive Mansion. And joining us now in studio is Father Charles Trouillot, director of the Catholic Information Center. Father, welcome so much. Thank you
Thank
for
you so
being
much.
Here. Very exciting.
Absolutely.
Very exciting times for the Catholic Church. We have a new pope.
We have a new pope.
And tomorrow we have a big, exciting event taking place in Washington, D.C., here in the nation's capital. Describe, please, what's going on.
Well, we are going to have our third Eucharistic procession downtown D.C. We are going to process in by some of the main historical landmarks of our country here in our nation's capital, by Farragut Square, McPherson Square, by Lafayette Square in view of the White House, and we are going to bring the Blessed Sacrament, the Eucharist, to the streets of Washington.
It's going to be beautiful. And anyone can join in, right?
Anyone can join in.
You don't just have to be Catholic, any faith.
Any faith, and you are going to experience the grace and the love of the Eucharist of Jesus Christ for all of us.
And as I understand, this is the third annual procession inspired by the National Eucharistic Revival. Speak to that, please.
So 2 years ago, I had this idea with the National Eucharistic Revival, right, of starting a Eucharistic procession in our nation's capital. There were some, there was a lot of revival and a lot of Eucharistic processions being organized around the country, and I thought, we need one here. So we started with that, and we had 700 people. Last year, we had 1,000 people in the rain, and tomorrow, the forecast is really great. Sunny.
Sunny and no rain.
And no rain.
As far as you know.
And we are expecting so many people from this area and people flying from different states.
Wow, very exciting. And with the new pope, that adds to the excitement, right?
Absolutely. I am very happy to see some images of Pope Leo XIV bringing the Blessed Sacrament to the streets of Chiclayo during the pandemic and blessing everyone, blessing the streets. And this is a great encouragement for all of us to express our faith, our devotion for the Eucharist always, but especially in this time of Eucharistic revival.
Yeah, maybe the Pope will come. You should invite him. You
I
got his phone number,
that.
Don't you? You have his phone number?
No. I'm looking for it.
No, for sure. And how long will it all take? And it, like maybe people are just hearing this for the first time. How long will it take? What should they expect? You know, should they bring water, for example, along the way, right?
We have a Mass at 9:30 a.m. tomorrow, Saturday. And the Catholic Information at the Catholic Information Center, which is on K Street and 15, just three blocks away from the White House. And many people will be in the street because the Catholic Information Center has limited capacity, right? Mm-hmm. We'll have a big screen outside, and people will be able to afterwards to start processing through K Street and and all this loop that we are going to have. It will take 1 hour, more or less, 1.5 hours. It's 1 mile. So you bring your best, to walk, to pray, to sing, to praise. It's going to be amazing.
As I understand, EWTN will be airing this in a special broadcast tomorrow. And then also, and last thing I want to ask you, just describe the Catholic Information Center for folks who might not be aware of it and what you do.
I would say it's a Catholic outpost downtown Washington, D.C. We have a beautiful small chapel, daily mass, the sacraments. I'm always there hearing confession, spiritual direction. We have programs, speakers. It's a Catholic, I would say, place where people can get nourished and can learn about the faith and also, get to know other people and receive the sacraments.
Father, thank you very much for coming in. We're out of time. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
All right, good to see you, my friend. Take care.
Thank you.
And if you can't join, you can watch the CIC's Eucharistic procession right here on EWTN starting at 10 a.m. sharp
tomorrow morning. Well, we thank you very much for watching tonight. Remember, you can always follow us on social media, Facebook, X, Instagram, at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Owen Jensen. God bless. Have a great weekend.